I'd like to share this text with you today. I believe that you will find it familiar. It's from Luke 15. We'll read 1 to 3 and 11 to 32. And I don't know about you, but whenever I see a reading like that listed anywhere, I always jump to the question, what did they leave out? And so in my study and work this week, I have sought out that and studied that as well. And I find that the three parables that Jesus tells in this passage, the most of the chapter of Luke 15, the three parables are related. Our lectionary has divided it up so that we're just going to look at the third part, the third parable there, the parable that we sometimes call the prodigal son or the younger son. But there's such a connection that it's worth studying and reading all three of them. Parable of the lost coin is one of the parts that's left out, where the woman leaves the light, lights all the lamps in the house and moves all the furniture and sweeps until the coin is found. And finally she does find it. And it is one of 10 that were most likely given to her as a wedding dowry. So she lost 10% of her wedding gift, and she needed it. That was for her future and for her family, seed money for her family. And so she goes diligently searching and finds it. The second one is the, maybe I have these out of order. Maybe the first one was the sheep farmer who had a lost sheep. And he left all the others by themselves at risk somewhat, but all together at least, and goes and looks for the one that's lost. So those have in common a diligent search. In this third parable, the one that does make our reading, which I'm aware I haven't read yet, but I'm about to. In this one, this is what we call the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the loving Father. And in this passage, let's see what happens. Does the father go look for him? Does the father wish desperately for him to return? Let's listen to it carefully and then we'll talk about it. Luke 15, 1 to 3, and then I'll skip to 11, the last part of verse 11 to read on. Listen to these words for the word of the Lord. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so Jesus told them this parable. Now, 11b. A certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." When the father divided his estate between them, soon afterward, the younger son gathered up everything together and took a trip to a land far away. And there he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. And when he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, but I am starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.'" So he got up, went to his father. while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. And his father ran toward him, hugged him, and kissed him. And then his son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And fetch the fattened calf, and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, the older son was still out in the field. And coming in from his work, he approached the house and heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on? And the servant replied, your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received his son back safe and sound. The older son was furious and didn't even want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, look, I've served you all these years. I have never disobeyed your instructions, yet you've never given me so much as a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours returned after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Then the father said, son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word. An interesting story of homecoming. Whether you're talking about the lost sheep or the lost coin, being able to be reunited with its like ones, or whether you're talking about this son, I don't think there's a one of us here who couldn't identify with this story in some way. Some way we've taken, some path we've taken of going off to find ourselves or to celebrate something or to search for something. Some kind of pilgrimage. And I don't know that this boy was into all that much searching, really. Other than searching for his own pleasure, he just wanted to sow some wild oats. He wanted to celebrate and have his freedom and to do what made him happy and what pleased him. It's bothered me some that these three parables are grouped together because in the first two, the owner so clearly, or the older one so clearly goes and looks, the woman desperately searching for her coin, and the shepherd diligently searching for his sheep. And yet those are kind of inanimate objects. In the third thing, we're talking about a person, a son, a human being. And it's bothered me some that the father doesn't go right away and look for him. That doesn't go till right near the end of the story, after the son has already taken action and is on his way home. But there is some very strong significance in this phrase. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him and was moved with compassion. Now, he didn't just get back home and knock on the door and see if he could be welcomed in. His father was sitting on the front porch watching for him to come home, apparently, and ready at any moment to greet him, probably looking as if he was diligently searching for a lost coin or a lost sheep. With the first two stories, we have inanimate objects. With this one, we have a son who has now made a decision to come back. Do you suppose that if the father had gone looking for him and found him out there celebrating with his friends and said, "Son, come on home, we want you back," do you suppose he would have come? It took him a while to get to the point where he was ready to return. But the father had been looking for him for no telling how long, expecting him probably daily and watching for him probably hourly or even every moment. Why did Jesus tell these three parables, and why did he tell these three together? Well, I want you to look at the very first verse of Luke 15, the introductory part, verses 1 and 2, really. Listen again to that intro. Jesus is with the tax collectors and sinners. Now, those are people who don't really fit in with Jesus' crowd. Oh, Jesus would welcome them, but they don't think they fit in. They've not yet made any kind of a choice to follow him, to come home to God, or to be, well, found by him. In fact, they kind of sit around and mock him, and in many ways challenge him. It says, after the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him, they were grumbling among themselves. The Pharisees and the legal experts especially, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. This man goes out and searches, even for those who are lost sheep of the people of Israel. Those who are of other nations or other ethnic origins. Those who are handicapped or cannot even get up to walk toward Jesus." You know, when those things happened along, Jesus went to where they were. Jesus was on the road looking for people. And I think that's what these parables are about. The woman who lost her coin, diligently searching. The man who lost one of his sheep, or maybe the sheep just wandered away on its own. How many humans do you know who have done that? And yet the shepherd wanted to go step by step, diligently searching. And the father wanted to sit on the front porch, diligently watching, and to welcome that errant, wayward son to come home. I know that not all family stories have this kind of happy endings. But look, it may just be that we're not at the end. It may just be that we're in the middle, the middle parts where we or someone who has drifted away is out with the pigs. you know, or is lost in a dark corner under a step stool or something if you're a coin, or a sheep that's just wandered away to find some place to graze green grass. The significant part of this is that in the story Jesus tells, he's addressing those people that were grumbling and grumbling at the beginning, that were saying, why is he welcoming sinners and eating with them? You know, the Pharisees were so meticulous about keeping the law that they didn't want to even get close to sinners. Certainly not touch any of them. Why, that would make me unclean if I touched someone who was a sinner. Well, guess what? Pretty much all of us fit that category. Well, maybe Jesus doesn't fit the category of a sinner. But he came in a special way to be among humankind, and all of those human beings have it in common, that we fall off the path. And I don't mean just specific things that we do wrong. I don't mean that. I mean falling away from what we are called to do, or falling away from trusting and serving and loving Christ and God through Christ. I don't mean just specific sins, the usual ones that get named, the things that you go off and do, maybe. But I'm talking about falling out of fellowship with God. Falling out of, almost said favor, not falling out of favor with God, but falling out of communion or fellowship with God. It's those times when we think we're not worthy. Or maybe other people think, well, he or she is not worthy. They should be pointing at themselves. My mother taught me that anytime you point at somebody else, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. How about that? If you're pointing somebody out and saying, you better fix that or you better stop that, it's about me, too. So in this passage, we have really a joyful celebration. Some people wish the older brother thing was left out of it. But you know, it just couldn't be, because there is always that person that's going to be resentful of somebody getting something good. And so in this case, it's the older brother, and you have these words like, this son of yours. I can imagine him using that word son like in a very facetious and stinging way. This son of yours, if you can call him a son, returned after gobbling up. That's good. Gobbling up all of your estate, and still you love him. Jesus told this story. It can be viewed from many angles. And it can be preached from many angles too, right, Johnny? You can tear this one up and preach a whole week of revival sermons on it. But in it, we have Jesus illustrating the love of the Father. No matter how you look at it, that comes through. And when you contrast that with the kind of human love, or what we call love, of this older brother, who no doubt was loyal and intended to be loving and caring to his father, wanted the best, didn't want to include this son that's gone out and spent half the family fortune, or a third of it. By the way, I learned that this week. I didn't know that before, but I read in a commentary that the younger son left, he would have had only a third of the family inheritance. His older brother, being firstborn, would have had two-thirds. So this older brother was probably afraid that the younger son got some of his. But the Father's summary illustrates, I think, the Father's action in looking for his Son. And then I think he looked for his older son as well. Because he goes to him and says, "Son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours," which was true, inheritance-wise. "Everything I have left is going to be yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this blood brother of yours." Contrast that with how the older father said, "This son of yours." And now, Father says, "This brother of yours." Brother. This is your brother we talk about. "This brother of yours was dead to us and now is alive. He was lost and now he's found." We had to celebrate. We have to celebrate. And when we come to celebrate at this altar, we celebrate God's claim through Jesus Christ on each and every one of us. This son, this brother, this sister, this family, this friend, this grandparent. We've all been dead and made alive in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We've all been lost and now are found. And when you come to the table today, it is a place to meet this Lord, this graceful, loving parent who has found you and me.